Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric, and who's that sitting next to me? Well, that's you, listener. You having kind of an up day or down day? What, Metzger, you having an up day or down day? Metzger's our expert. She's an anime expert. She's a professional, and I am the person who shows up for class and kind of sits in the back. But he tries real hard, you know, but like also he doesn't read the book. Metzger, you having an up day or down day?
It's an up day.
Feel like it's an up day?
Yeah.
Huh, that's cool. I feel like lately I've been having a lot of days where like I cycle back and forth between up and down, like a lot of feeling of like, I don't know, kind of feeling like beaten down or like, you know, the fight's kind of out of me versus like,
do you days... maybe feel like your soul's at 10%?
Yeah, and I have yet to like self-actualize and reach 120%. But like, it's funny, the next day I'll be like, I'll take things with a new perspective. I'll be uppity and I'll be ready to do boss fights and you know, be ready for whatever the world may throw at me and stuff. But like, I don't know, I've been finding a lot of like hard days recently. Some of it's work related, like, you know, that's just kind of I'm going through a weird time with my work stuff. And then some of it's just like, I don't know. I've been taking vitamin D, but also like the night comes sooner. Maybe there's something with the lights and stuff. Who knows? Metzger, sometimes we have hard days and the fight's just kind of out of us. And I think that anime can sometimes speak to those moments, like we have in one of our episodes we watched this week, Jujutsu Kaisen. Of course, this is an anime podcast. Every week we look at two episodes from two different anime, or at least, you know, maybe we'll do something special sometimes. But that's our general premise, is two different episodes from two different anime. We talk about its cultural context and maybe what it has to say about life and the world we live in. So, Metzger, can I get a synopsis of Jujutsu Kaisen?
The synopsis is that we're still huffing Nabarro copium 3 years later. Toto shows up and saves us, and he's like a real armchair philosopher.
I, first off, love him. Second off, I think Nabarro is still alive.
It's been 3 years, Eric, since this happened in the manga. And there's still no word. She's just literally never brought up again. So Mahito wrecks Nabarro. They show us like the absolute like worst shot of her.
Yes.
Just,
I mean, her just face
awful.
Her skin's pale and white. Like she's bad, right? Like this is,
yeah.
It looks like a corpse. And I'm like, oh, this is it.
When the gunshot has come from inside the head. If you wanted to know what that looked like, what has science done? And this does exactly what Mahito wants it to do. It absolutely breaks Itadori, and he feels like he is never going to be able to make up for the terrible things that are happening around him and theoretically at his own hands. And Mahito really does some shit, man. Mahito hits him with some like, hey, brother, we're the same. Did you ever think that we're the same? It's just, do you ever question how many cursed spirits you've killed or why? Or do you just kill them?
It's instinctual.
Do you remember them? Because I don't remember all the people. And even though you're my greatest adversary, I'll forget you too.
There's no world in which I didn't count how many curses that I had fucked up.
I think that speaks volumes about you.
Really?
How obsessed with you or were you with your grades in school?
Not very.
Really? You weren't like super obsessed with like every half micro point?
No, it was only like, you know, if something was overtly wrong, but like, no, I was mostly like a B student. I regrettably had exquisite potential to be like a 4.0 A student and all that, but like the people that go to the sperm bank, it's all about unused potential for me.
Yeah, but then he decided that he had to do skydiving.
Yeah. But that's not where I got my big injury. Anyways, that's we're sidebarring.
In the darkest hour, we hear a voice. It's Toto.
Our brother!
Toto gives us a really big speech, and it's exactly what Itadori needs to motivate him. About how when you become a jujitsu sorcerer, it doesn't really matter, like... I don't know, like, it was a very nice way of saying it, but it's almost kind of like Toto was like,
suck it up,
matter.
Buttercup, yeah.
It doesn't matter how many people you killed, you became a sorcerer, and you will get up and you will fight!
I feel like I've been in that moment of just, like, stuck in, like, my own, like, bad feelings of myself, like, my own, like, you know, hey, I'm not a good person kind of thing, and it's difficult. It's not...
I mean, this speaks volumes towards the societal thoughts of Japan, to where it that non-individualistic sort of community, to where, you know, you could have literally watched one of your favorite teachers and your best classmate friend get fucking murdered, and then someone gets up and goes, if you don't keep fighting, then you've let them down.
Yeah, and that's even brought up, like, the guy brings up, like, this idea of karma, and, like, the fact that, like, that's no longer, there is only to keep fighting. That is our curse, that is, like, what we have to do. I used to make a joke about Christianity, that if you don't sin hard enough, Jesus died for nothing, and that's exactly what Toto's saying here.
I don't think that's what Toto's saying. I think that he's saying that you kind of live in...
I think I was pretty spot on with the claim about Christianity.
Except for they... I know, we're not going to get into that. It's
no, I have a perfect interpretation. We have essentially like a pick yourself up and fight. And he does. And he's beaten down, and he's to some degree like not healed, but at least he's no longer got active bleeding and poison damage.
What's the guy's name? Nita or something? Like, he essentially puts Nobara in stasis and is like, hey, I'm not saying she's alive. I don't know. She could be dead. But
she's not getting any worse.
She can't get any worse. I like how he's walking off going, the chance isn't zero, but no promises. Like, he's
and
literally like skipping away.
We've been stuck on that for years. So yeah, we have a big fight then that happens as Mojito's not dead. Like, he's not gone. Like, and Mojito was beating the shit out of him, so he picks himself up and they both start fighting. And we have some pretty epic, and we get to see some interesting animation techniques used in this, where it is very reminiscent of like the turning of a page, or like a very like manga style like fight scene of like, you know, the frames slow down, but they become fantastical and like wild and like a great camera angles and stuff
all these fucking just also like just the spacing and that very echoed hollow clap.
Yeah.
That clap was so gratifying.
Every time he did it just was like, ah, okay. Yeah. That's his technique. Like, yeah.
I also want to take a moment to just say that I respect the fuck out of the booth. These voice actors, the voice actors in Juju have always been really good to me. Like, they put in 120% of themselves into the voice acting, especially on this episode. Mojito is fucking crazed.
You want to talk about, so the point where this was a big thing for me was like, we've seen Itadori go from like, just somebody that's like weirdly strong for his, you know, age and body and everything.
Boy wonder.
Perfect boy. Yeah. Not only like our stand in, but also already a little bit of that power fantasy and stuff. But then now he's become astoundingly strong. He's doing this like black strike thing and all that, just like, which was supposedly very difficult to do. And now Toto is convincing him. He has him throw a rock, and then Toto replaces himself with a rock with his little clap and all that.
Yeah, anything that has cursed energy in it, Toto can change places with.
So he has this moment where he's yelling and he's talking about, like, I've pushed you to get stronger. You want to stay brothers with me? We have to keep getting stronger. It's like your friend who's, you only ever see him when you go work out at the gym, right? We see him say, you know, in order to keep up with, you know, in order for us to stay brothers, you have to get stronger. But that also applies to me. I have to get stronger to keep up with you. You've grown so much. I also, too, have to keep growing. And that's where we see him really kind of not only crazed, but go into like a pure manifestation of himself. And like they are, you know, kicking around Mojito. Regrettably, Mojito, who by his own claim, which I thought this was interesting, he talks about it in terms of percentages. Like, so Toto's batting like 70-100%, something like that.
He's 100.
100?
Yeah.
And Itadori is 10%. Like, he's been fighting for a while and the shit's out of him, right? And Mojito's at 40%. Now, if we do some simple math here, that's 110% versus 40%. and so you would think that it's more weighted on their side. However, their techniques seem to be more like blunt force trauma-y techniques and aren't actually like affecting his soul in the same way that maybe Nibara would have.
And Nibara, he still says, even though that bitch is gone, she ruined him.
Like, yeah, she took the 60% out of him.
She really, I mean, Itadori took a big chunk out when he actually killed that clone.
Yeah,
turns out he killed that clone. That clone is not coming back.
But
Nobara started it.
Yeah, and there's a big fight. Lots of like grabbing onto people and turning them into swords.
Yeah, like, still, I never get over it. It still makes me so uncomfy.
Yeah, it's that body horror, right? Of no longer like a touch away from not having control over your body. And somebody taking that. We also get this indication of something that I think is pretty interesting. So what makes Gojo so strong is, first of all, his, like, you know, his specific technique, his infinity thing that he has going on.
His theory, his understanding.
And that's the part that I want to get to. So the thing where we saw earlier in the season, him kind of floating off the ground with kind of an absolute understanding, I think is very similar into what could potentially happen with Mojito, where he's saying he's very close to touching the like bounds and fully understanding his own soul. And we would just get kind of the cursed equivalent of that, which would, I think, make him as powerful as Gojo, right?
Yeah, but probably not.
Because nobody's more powerful than Gojo. He's the strongest.
That's why we had to lock.
We got to put him in a box.
I don't think the cursed equivalent of human suffering and then the absolute knowledge of the universe.
And all of its infinity.
Never going to be on equal terms.
In different colors.
Yeah, no matter how good you are at one of those things, even if you are the 100% master of that, you're never going to be able to overcome the 100% master of that second one.
And so all that being said, we're left in this point where essentially they can't do damage to him, but he could in theory fuck them up, and like they're all swinging with 120% of their soul potential, and like it's a big fight, right? And this seems to be kind of the big climax of this season. The war is Mojito's death? Question mark.
I am so sick of where it leaves its cliffhangers.
Yeah.
So I feel like I haven't gotten a good like resolution to anything in 6 weeks.
Well, and so that's the issue, right? So this is the Shibuya incident, like, it's not going to be resolved until the end of the Shibuya incident. And I felt that too, right? It's one big thing.
But at least
thing.
Like some things, like the previous kind of like batting average was like two episodes and a tiny resolution, like a fight would be over in two. But like at Sukuna, sure, Sukuna wasted that weird curse thing and like kept Fushiguro alive, and I guess that was technically a resolution, but that didn't feel like anything to me. So it feels like since the Nautilus monster, we haven't resolved anything. I don't feel good about anything. And by good, I just mean like I don't feel like we've done anything, and it's been like 6 weeks. So I watched the next episode.
And on that, listener, we're gonna go ahead and transition. But before we do that, let's talk about where you can interact with us. First and foremost, that's at AnimeTourBus on Instagram. Also, anime_bus on formerly Twitter, now known as x.com. And last but not least, hey, check us out at animetourbus.wordpress.com. I have not once messed that up.
I am very proud of you.
I know. We changed it, listener, from formerly miyuandweeboo.wordpress.com. But don't forget that I just said that. It's now animetourbus.wordpress.com. Listener, we have some days where maybe we're not feeling down. Maybe we wake up and we say, fuck them. I decide how I feel in my life. That I'm not going to let other people dictate how, you know, I feel. My coworkers. I'm sorry. I'm talking mad shit. I get to decide how, you know, I feel. And also, like, you know, fuck it. That's such a, your work is such a small part of it. Yes, it's a big part of our life, but it's not your whole life. It's, you are more than what you do for money.
You are more than judo.
Well, I wouldn't say that. That's your, I have a qualm. I have a bone to pick. And that bone to pick has to do with the fact that I want this to be a different anime than it actually is turning out to be. I want this to be a romance. And all I care about is the girl that's overwhelmingly powerful and does judo, actively being a pick me girl for the boy. She's
such a creep, though.
I do not care. I need them to get together. I need them to get together, and I want this to be kind of a romance. You remember Seasons of Boy Love? I need this to be that, but about them.
Seasons of Gamer Love.
Yes! That is exactly what I need. And I don't want this to just be like a lit RPG equivalent of anime. Like, I want this to, because he's talking about his stats on there. I'm like, I listen to other types of media for that. I need this to be a romance. And this, that is my bone to pick.
So you're telling me that next season only pick romance animes?
Yes.
Because there looks like there's a really cute one about, it's called A Sign of Affection. And it's about someone with a hearing disability.
I mean, I'm into that. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I love that representation.
Yeah, no, we got to bring diversity, equity, and inclusion into our workspace, too. Namely, this heinous show that we create that sometimes has beautiful moments in it. I weirdly find that, like, we laugh, we cry, we talk about genuine things, just surrounded by discussion of pooping in cemeteries.
or gachapon semen
machines. Gachapon semen machines. For those of you who are needing semen,
your first episode,
definitely go back and check those out. So Metzger, can I get a synopsis of what happened in this episode?
If you die in the game, you die in real life.
Now, listener, you know that's not true as much as I know that that's not true.
It's true for Emil.
I did once watch this, and I've never known what it was. When I was a little kid, I watched this like show, and it was all about them playing like in a VR game, and it was like from the freaking like 90s, and it was like a sci-fi. It's on the Sci-Fi Channel and stuff, and it was about like a VR game where like somebody actually did die in real life from it, and they did like a whodunit of like, oh, this is a VR game. How could someone die in real life? And I remember being like,
was it a movie?
I. I think it might have been part of a show.
Was it an anime?
No, it was a live action. We're getting sidebarred. I've just been looking for that. And also one about like what's in the Bermuda Triangle and they've been locked in purgatory. I remember watching that growing up and I was like, oh, when I'm older and this isn't emotionally scarring for me, I need to watch this. And I cannot find it. Anyways, listener, if you have any advice on either of those, please let us know on Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, anime_bus on Twitter, formerly Twitter, now X. And hey, reach out to us at animetourbus.wordpress.com. Hey, Metzger, you don't die in real life.
Emil does.
Okay, so all NPCs can permanently die.
Also, Sunraku's got a real energy drink habit.
Yeah, when I go to the store and I'm buying me some unhealthy snacks, I don't want the pretty girl to see me do that. But also, he's like, oh, hey, you play too? I should ask her. Oh, damn, I forgot to ask her username.
Yeah, that's kind of Well, he couldn't even remember her real name. I like him.
It
just
took him a second. Yeah.
Rachel. Could you imagine standing there and someone trying to guess your name and they're just like doing weird syllables? Just
it's like a Derek. It's like a Jeremy. It's got something with a rih in it. Is it Ricky?
I mean, you don't even get that far. You're just standing there looking at someone and their name is like, well, your name is Eric. And they're just going,
Zarek? Zarek's not a word, is it? Is it Zarek? Metzger, We can make fun of him all day for this one. But ultimately, this is the exact kind of shit that I'm talking about. This is what I want it to always be. And then just tease me with it. And then at the very end, give it to me. That's what I ask for.
Well, you know, kind of like when we do the romance thing, like there's a lot of nothing in between those big developments.
Oh, yeah.
And at least with this game, between the romance struggles, we get area boss fights.
Yeah, and that's fun to watch. It's not like, you know, we can't big talk about it. But what we can do is talk about the fact that they're going to try to fight a big, unique boss guy together. Just the three of them.
Yeah, we're going to fight the Tomb Guard.
And we gotta watch out, put our bunny back for a little bit, because NPCs die for realsies.
Yeah. Pencil Gun. I wonder if Pencil Gun's telling the truth, or if Pencil Gun is just doing it to keep Emil out of the way from maybe telling Sunraku something.
No, I would suspect. So that's like a crazy mechanic to me that like I don't think would work in real life of like NPCs permanently die.
Like, I mean, doesn't that happen in some
games, but in an MMO, like you're
to talk about Final Fantasy 14, there are instances where once you pass a certain part in the story, a character just does not show up on your screen anymore, where it would show up for someone else.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, so
the bunny would be there for other people. Just like if Sunraku fucks up and kills her, he never gets to see her again.
But it seems like they're not saying that. They're saying that like if Jeremy goes in and he says, "Hey, I don't like this shopkeeper, and I'm gonna murk him," then that shopkeeper doesn't come for my game because he's been murked.
I don't think that's what they mean. I think they mean it in like the 14 way, where like if you fuck the shopkeep up and the shopkeep's just you can't use the shopkeep anymore, but other people still can.
Okay. That makes sense, right? Like that's
yeah.
Because the other way is insane to me, and I latched onto that very hard.
Cause I've forgotten about things and I've taken people to zones to where like an NPC should be, but that person's not there in the storyline yet, so the NPC's not there for them, and I'm like, oh yeah. Forgot you gotta go here first. Whoopsie. Sunraku does totally whoop the shit out of that boss. He viewed the clown spider as the Lycagon's face, and I misinterpreted what was happening. I thought maybe he was traumatized by the Lycagon.
I don't like clowns.
Did you think the spider did actually look like a clown? Because I didn't.
I think it's one of those things of, like, it kind of vaguely looks like a clown face. Like, it has kind of big eye. I can see where the face would be.
I think if you were actually, like, naming that spider and it existed in the real world, yes, you would say that it was the clown spider. But if it's a video game, I think you could have done a little bit better.
Yeah,
design.
I get why they named it the clownfish, but, like, orange and white are not usually clown colors.
I didn't realize that you were the keeper of the eggs.
I hold all eggs. That is...
All clown eggs?
Not just clown, all eggs.
I have got to reference clown eggs twice in 24 hours. I am somehow proud of myself. Do you know what clown egg is?
No? You clowning on me? What's up?
Okay, so when you go to clown college, as part of your graduation ceremony, you have to paint your individual clown face makeup onto an egg, and it becomes registered as an official clown makeup.
Okay. So I just kind of emotionally kind of take it. First off, I don't like clowns.
Okay.
I just feel like I don't get them.
We saw It together.
It's not like a fear thing. We did watch It together. And I need to... Oh, I watched the It 2 recently.
I saw it.
It was okay at best. I like the first one better. I don't generally like clowns, not out of, like, a point of fear, just, like, I don't get them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't understand why anyone would want to do that or be a clown.
Yeah, it's just part of the world that, like, I don't really get. Like, Insane Clown Posse makes a lot of sense to me, because that feels like clowns. Whatever clowns are, it feels like ICP has it figured out.
It's a clown for the modern era.
It.
They've taken the clown.
How fucking dare you?
They've revolutionized the clown game.
Because they brought in methamphetamine. And that makes sense.
I don't think they brought in methamphetamine. I think methamphetamine was always there.
Well, what they did was they schmushed, right? They said, hey, we have clowns. And what if we just brought methamphetamine? Vago. Yeah. And then we're
in Illinois. Hey, guys, come find us at the Secret Rock in Illinois. We've got Fago and clowns.
And then just a bunch of us are going to get real mad at a Honda Civic and flip it. And
they Honda Civic money.
Metzger, the one person that drove... 20 of them there because it's a clown car. Definitely was driving a Honda Civic.
I figured it was a late Ford Taurus.
Yeah, so I feel like I don't like clown. And then, like, spiders, what's up with them, man? Like, we're from a place that, like, has the brown recluse, and that sucks. Nobody can deny that.
We also have black widows.
Yeah, but they're not as, like, a big of a deal.
The one in my garage certainly was.
I only found one black widow in my entire time in that region, and I found dozens of brown recluses. Some of them in my shirts. One of them was coming straight for me on the arm of the couch, and I go, "It's a recluse!" And my partner at the time laughed very heartily because I had in multiple ways expressed that, like, you know, not all spiders are recluses. And they had laughed at my overgeneralization. And then I'm like, no, look at it. That's a recluse. It's got the back pattern. We watched some people try to fight the spider. They do a bad job.
That was that was a good joke. I appreciated that. I appreciated some scrubs getting wasted and Sunraku just having to be like, well, rip, and then immediately goes
in. I'm just walking in. There's no Witcher moment of him being like, all right, let me buff real quick. Let me, like, put on my potions or some shit. He's just like, okay, cool. So now we know it's up.
Yeah, he's like, awesome. Instance open.
And then he walks in and we get a big fight. He's you know, jumping at it, and And it was laying down spider facts that, like, I don't know how he knows. It's never been pre-established, but we're always given the blanket statement of trash gamer knowledge. He's like, you know, oh, this part of the web's not sticky. And
maybe
and
they then, covered that in, like, eighth grade science, and it just really resonated with him.
You know, I remember all the types of clouds. So that could be, like, a legit thing. Like, I was like, ah, cumulonimbus, I'm there for
this
you.
This information is going to be vital to my day-to-day survival.
Nimbostratus. You know what I do? I literally, whenever we're eating outside, I'm like, look at them nimbostratus clouds. Oh, it's mixed with the cirrus stratus.
And
oh, guys,
no one is paying attention to you.
We've got about 35 minutes to eat lunch before them clouds start a pouring on us. Yeah, so that's exactly how it is. So we have a big fight, and he finishes the fight by, you know, dropping rocks on the big spider, gets the point, saves the day. We get recruited by Pencil Dragon, or whatever the fuck it is. And we are being asked to join in a big quest to fight one of the unique monsters. Yeah, I think we covered everything, Metsy.
Yeah, I think we nailed it.
Listener, we hope that you have more up days than down days. We hope that when you find that you have moments where you're beaten down, that someone is able to come into your life like Toto did and say, hey, fucking stop. get up. We got some fighting to do. We hope that you have a moment where, you know, in the very least, we can provide a comfort, a warmth, a happiness, a moment to pull you out of those things. And when you're ready to fight your bosses, we'll be here by your side also. So until next time.
Bye!
How'd you get grizzly bear cum?